Warning, the following podcast may contain potential plot spoilers, but then again, it may not at all. Hello and welcome to Potential Spoilers. I'm Kieran and I'm joined by Maddie D.
And this is the second time Ryan Gosling has been a stuntman.
Is it?
Not really a spoiler, but
we're going to go with that.
If you didn't want to know that, then you shouldn't be listening to this show.
Because you shouldn't be coming here for facts. And trivia.
Yeah.
Or spoilers. Wait, no, you should be coming here for spoilers because this is Potential Spoilers, where we look at all the promotional material for an upcoming Hollywood blockbuster and attempt to spoil as much of the plot as humanly possible before the movie comes out. I haven't said that for ages.
Yes.
It's sort of become redundant, but I just really felt like doing it this episode because I sort of feel like I'm returning back to my roots with this episode.
Yes.
With this podcast in particular, because I didn't really write any notes about the movie because I just watched the trailers and I'm like, it all sort of speaks for itself.
I feel the same way, by the way.
Whether it backfires and really ends up hurting us, I guess is really just down on me. But we will see. We will see what happens. Another risk we're taking is we put the microphones in a different position.
Yes, we have.
Just as a part of an experiment to see if we can improve the sound.
Literally
of this podcast.
A few minutes before recording, we decided to try something different.
Not even 2 minutes ago.
It feels really weird,
it
Kieran.
Does feel very weird. You said that you feel naked.
I do, yes.
And I feel naked as well.
I mean, we are naked now.
True, but now,
but
like,
that's usually, you know, normal.
Metaphorically, we also feel naked, not just physically.
The microphones are so low.
Yes, they're basically brushing out. Well, let's not say that. So, if you want to put one of our previous predictions to the test, you currently can, because in cinemas right now is Godzilla Kong, the New Empire. Now, that is a movie that we teamed up to do together, quite like we're doing this week, that I feel like without even seeing the movie, well, we can go see it right now, can't we? Without having seen the movie in advance, I feel like we pretty much nailed that plot.
Yeah, I mean, I'm seeing a lot of stuff about that movie and it's ticking a lot of boxes that we spoke about.
Yeah, I haven't really been paying attention to any promotional material at all because I'm like, we've done the episode. I'm happy to just go see the movie and see how well we did. You know, I'm not going to take in any other information beforehand that might potentially spoil the movie for me. Heaven forbid. But yes. Anyway, this week we're here to predict the plot of the upcoming movie, The Fall Guy. Which I think the timing on this is incredible because we just did an actual spoilers episode on director David Leitch's previous movie, Bullet Train.
Mm-hmm.
And something we said about Bullet Train was we enjoyed the movie, but it overstayed its welcome.
Yes.
And I think this movie has every chance on improving on that, what we liked about that movie and getting rid of the things we don't like.
Yeah. I mean, this guy has been hitting winners.
Yeah, same director as Hobbs and Shaw.
Yep, and John Wick as well.
Uncredited director of John Wick, that's right. He was basically a ghost director for that movie. But yeah, I'm keen to see what he does next. Yeah. And I believe we've got a different writer this time around. So the person who wrote Bullet Train, it was basically his first movie. He'd barely written anything at all, and I think it shows, given how sloppy.
We liked Bullet Train. We just thought it was too long.
Yes, and I think part of that goes down to the writing. And yes. I think I said as well that the jokes were hammered into the ground and it wasn't as tight as it could have been, probably because of the script. But this time we've got the same guy who wrote Hobbs and Shaw. So we've got the director of Hobbs and Shaw and the writer of Hobbs and Shaw. So we're going to get similar jokes or jokes along those veins and the same writer as, I believe, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning.
Yeah.
Which, again, was solid.
Yeah.
It was another really long movie, but I felt like it didn't overstay its welcome. Personally, I can't speak for Matty D.
So, yeah, this is looking really fun, and we know it's a passion project as well.
Yeah.
Being about stuntmen and people behind the scenes of a movie. So, it's a lot to be excited about.
Certainly is. We love movies that are very self-reflective, don't we? I think Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is one of our favorite movies that we've covered on this podcast and seen. And yeah, we get to really peek behind the curtain and see how stunts are done.
Mm.
We watch a lot of stunts on this show, but we don't really see
how
they're done.
In our own country as well.
That's right. That was my next point. The movie was shot entirely in Sydney, Australia.
Yes.
So, do you remember Fox Studios growing up? It's not Fox Studios anymore. If you go there now, it's Disney Studios.
Yes.
I'm like, ah, I see what they've done.
I've actually been there recently.
Oh, really? Mm. Were you working on The Fall Guy?
Oh, you know it. No, I wasn't.
This is a movie. Since it was filmed in Sydney, and this is, of course, where we record this podcast and live.
Yes.
I'm surprised that you weren't given a part on this movie.
Yeah, me too.
What's going on?
I'm actually a little upset about it, to be honest with you.
No one was giving you a call for this one.
I should have gotten involved with that.
Yeah, that would have been good. Now, I think it's important to point out as well that this movie is very loosely based on the 1980s TV series The Fall Guy, of course, starring Lee Majors, which ran between 1981 to 1986.
Yes.
And this movie as well won the Guinness World Record for the most number of car roles in a film.
Nice.
Beating Casino Royale's previous record.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Cool. So, up until now, 2006's Bond movie, Casino Royale, had the Guinness World Record for the most number of car flips.
Hmm.
And this movie beat it. And we see it in the
trailer.
That's
exciting.
Yeah. Well, everyone's going to be like, look how many times it flipped. More than 8 or more than 13, whatever the record was. I'm really impressed. So, Manny D, I've got to ask, and I think I know the answer to this one. What is your history with The Fall Guy, as in the TV show starring Lee Majors? Do you have one?
No, I don't. Okay. I didn't even realize it was a TV show until covering this movie. So,
oh, interesting.
I didn't know anything about this movie going in.
Okay, there you go.
No history.
No history.
What about you?
My history is very limited as well. The Fall Guy is a TV show that I remember. I'm pretty sure I saw a couple of episodes of it. I'm more so familiar with Lee Majors as the $6 Million Man, or he was in that movie, what was it called, Snow Days? Yeah, it was like a snowboarding movie where he was a skier, and then they sort of looked down on him because he skied, and they're like, oh, skiing sucks.
I remember this, right? There were the skiers versus the snowboarders.
Yeah, that's basically
it. And it was like a class war thing about skiing with the rich people, and snowboarders were like the,
I hope you're not thinking about Johnny Tsunami, which is basically exactly the same plot.
Maybe, I don't know.
We're about a surfer who learns to snowboard. But anyway, so yeah, Snow Days, I believe it was, yeah. I remember Lee Majors was in it. I don't remember anybody else in it. I saw it on a bus. That's the only reason I have that experience.
Right.
But I was always really offended by that movie because I'm like, oh, I'm a skier. Why are they saying like skiers are assholes?
I didn't know you were a skier.
Yeah, I haven't skied for a long time. But yeah, growing up, I did ski pretty much all through primary school and all through high school. So
cool.
Majority of my young life.
Skiing on the slopes.
Never as an adult. I could probably pick it up quite easily as an adult because it's not really something you forget easily, like riding a bike. So, back to The Fall Guy. Yeah, so my history, I was familiar with the TV show a little bit. I knew the iconic theme song, or at least the start of it anyway.
Well, I'm not the kind to kiss and tell, but I've been seen with fire up. I've never been with anything less than a man. So fine. I've been on fire with Sally Field, gone fast with a girl named Bo. But somehow they just don't end up as mine.
And I knew that every episode he used his like stuntman skills to beat bad guys, capture criminals. And
cool.
I'm pretty sure like he would travel from town to town working on different movies and TV
Sounds
shows.
Sounds fun. What sort of year did this TV show come out?
Don't you remember the dates that I gave earlier?
Remind me.
You weren't listening at all?
I was, but...
Wow, that's on you, Matty D, so I'm not going to tell you anything.
Okay, well, were they good at least?
Yeah, it was okay. It was like sort of along the same lines as The A-Team.
Right.
MacGyver.
Yeah.
One of those shows. That should give you an idea of when it came out too. So, let's talk about this movie though. I didn't even realize that this movie was based on the TV show. I'm like, this is quite a coincidence that they've got a very similar plot.
It seems
and a very
similar
premise and pretty much the same name as that TV show. But then when I looked into it, I'm like, oh, it is an adaptation. Makes sense. And of course, the main character's name is exactly the same. So, what do we know about The Fall Guy so far, Matty D?
So, we've got two trailers, two distinct trailers, and there's one teaser. It looks like it's going to be the main character, his name is Colt, played by Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, Colt Seavers.
Yes, who is a stuntman who hasn't been working on movies for a while. He's taken a break to clear his mental health.
Quite like Cliff Booth in Hollywood. Yeah.
Yes.
It's exactly the same character.
Yes, and a little bit like Bullet Train as well.
Yeah.
With Ladybug.
Yeah, with Brad Pitt's character. You're right.
So
yeah.
He's back. He seems to have, he has had a relationship with the director of this movie he's working on. There was a romance and he still harbors feelings for her. And the lead actor who seems like a bit of a douchebag. Can I say douchebag on the... Well, I guess
you
I did.
You can say whatever the fuck you want. What, you make it sound like douchebag is a big swear word when we've said way worse on this show.
Probably.
Where are you? Do you think you're on the radio?
I feel like I'm... It's these mics, man.
It's because you were just in Disney Studios. And they make you sign a disclaimer saying no naughty words.
No naughty words. Clean Matty D. Yeah.
He's doing his own podcast.
He's a bit of a douchebag, the main actor, but he goes missing and they get Colt to try to find him and action ensues. That's what we see through all of this.
Yeah. So, I've got the synopsis for this movie from the official website if you want to hear that.
Shoot.
It's actually interesting. This is one of the most interesting synopsises I've ever read. Synopsises? Is that a word?
Synopsis.
Synopsis? Let's say that. So, here's how it goes. He's a stuntman. And like everybody in the stunt community, he gets blown up, shot, crashed, thrown through windows, and dropped from the highest of heights. All for our entertainment. And now, fresh off an almost career-ending accident, this working-class hero has to track down a missing movie star, solve a conspiracy, and try to win back the love of his life while still doing his day job. What could possibly go right?
I love that so much.
What was the other movie we covered where it ended with, what could possibly go wrong?
I don't remember, but I remember there was one that
had some
that.
Comedy, wasn't it?
Yeah, maybe. I don't remember what it is, but that's a phrase that comes up in these synopsis.
Yeah, from time to time. Well, I guess that tells us a fair bit. I think I saw on TV or perhaps before like a YouTube video or in the cinema, the trailer for this movie a couple of times. And I remember not thinking that there was much to it beyond like the romance between Emily Blunt's character and Ryan Gosling's character. I'm like, oh, he's a stuntman. It's going to be like a romantic comedy while they film this movie that's quite stunt intensive. So, the stuntman, the choreographer, the I guess he's an action choreographer. Is you know, he's working very closely with the director because it's such a stunt heavy film, and they used to have a romance, but something happened, and then they get back together over the course of the movie. And I thought that was it. I didn't realize there was this whole angle of Tom Ryder going missing and there being a conspiracy apparently, and the whole seedy underworld of Sydney being explored apparently in this movie. Something I really enjoyed watching the trailer. So I'm like, I know that location.
Yes.
I knew that location.
Yes.
I was just there yesterday. I was just there last week.
Yeah, walk past that building, been there.
Yeah. So many places that we've worked appear in
this
trailer.
It's exciting to see. And there's a lot of movies coming out that are being filmed in Australia, but it's kind of exciting to see places that you know being represented. I mean, we see the Harbour Bridge and things like that, but, you know, just like bars that you go past.
Yeah, that's right.
Building streets.
I saw the Ivy in the background. Did
you? The Ivy.
Yes.
The Ivy, yeah.
Which is a nightclub here in Sydney, of course.
Yes, yes, yes. And once you turn over the age of 18, you never go to the Ivy again.
Well, I went there for the first time in my 30s, so that proves that theory wrong.
Oh, that's right. You did. And you had a great time, right? You were all about the Ivy.
Yeah, I wish I could say that was true, but let's get back to this plot. So, before we dive into our plot prediction, which, of course, we're teaming up to do together, when we have time, we'll go back to doing separate plot predictions again, but our schedules are just... We're like Ryan Gosling. We have to juggle finding a missing actor and unraveling conspiracies and doing our day jobs all at the same time.
No free time for us.
On top of this podcast, so...
We have jobs, but we also just take up a lot of extracurricular stuff.
Yes.
That's what we both do, and it just...
Well, you do. I just have to edit this podcast in all my spare time.
That's your extracurricular activity.
And then do my notes.
Well, that's not true. I know you got other stuff going on.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But, you know, I won't say anything. I won't say what's going on in my life.
It's a mystery, though. It's a mystery.
It's a mystery.
He's a stuntman.
Yes, that's
Kieran
right.
Kieran has been a stunt man for this movie.
That's why I'm so fucked currently. Anyway, let's talk about this this cast, and we can talk about what we think the impact on this movie will be as well a little bit too. So, of course, playing the title character of the fall guy, the stuntman Colt Seavers, is of course Ryan Gosling, who is a seasoned but aging action choreographer. Now, originally, back when this movie was starting development all the way back in 2010, Dwayne The Rock Johnson was cast as this character.
Wow.
Now, here's the thing about Dwayne The Rock Johnson as a stuntman is, like, he would be a terrible stuntman because who else does he look like physically?
Yeah, that's true.
Like, there's only maybe one or two actors he could double as.
Yeah.
So, you've got to have, like, a stuntman that looks like pretty much everybody, has the same sort of build as everybody.
Which Ryan Gosling can be.
Yeah. And if you remember as well, like, there's some famous stuntmen. I think Harrison Ford quite famously had a stuntman who looked pretty much exactly like him. So, he even, like, physically, like, his face could pass off as Harrison Ford's face at, like, a glimpse. So, there's a whole bunch of stuntmen out there who just make their living from looking like specific actors as well. Yeah. But Dwayne The Rock Johnson only looks like Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yes.
So,
not many people have the body type of Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Absolutely not. So, he would not be believable at all. They would have to put a wig on him in every scene. It would be ridiculous. And the movie was going to be directed by McGee as well.
Oh,
if you remember McGee.
Be a very different movie.
Absolutely. Yeah, it would be completely different to what we're getting. But I guess you could say that David Leitch is sort of like the modern day McGee, except a bit more sensible.
Yeah, in a way. I guess in a less campy, corny way. I mean, there is a little bit of campy and corniness with his movies.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They're more like comic books come to life. That's what I would say his style
is. Yeah, or a cartoon come to life in a way, but that's pretty much the same thing.
Yes.
So, what do you think Colt Seavers' impact on this movie is going to be?
So, again, he's going to be the hero of the story. A lot of his scenes are going to be getting by the skin of his teeth, I think. Teeth. And here's something else I think. I think he's going to bring a lot of Kenergy into this role.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of that. They're marketing the hell out of this character, almost basically like saying, oh, did you like Ken? Then you'll love this character. Mm. He's doing Ryan Gosling stretching his acting limits, as we've talked about privately before. Should we talk about that briefly?
We love Ryan Gosling show, and we love a lot of his projects, but he has limitations.
I think so too.
I think that's fair to say.
I think he shines in certain roles where he is not given a lot to do, where he's brooding, when he's there to look cool, he's there to look handsome. I think he's good in those roles.
Daniel Day-Lewis, he is not.
Absolutely. So I think when he tries to do comedy and when he tries to stretch himself dramatically, we see a lot of cracks in his performances. I know he was just up for the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor, but I didn't agree with that nomination at all.
Okay. I think he can do comedy. I think he can do dark and brooding, but when it goes over that sort of threshold,
yeah,
that's when you start to see...
So, this could be either a really good performance that we enjoy, aka The Nice Guys, where it was done like... We got to just the limit of his acting where the cracks started to show in The Nice Guys.
Yes.
But, or it could be over the top, and I ultimately won't like it, for example, like the Ken performance.
Well, I like the Ken performance, so that's where we differ, but...
Okay, give me an example of Ryan Gosling where you don't like him.
I can't think of anything right now.
Well, okay.
But I've seen it.
Okay. Were you thinking maybe, what was that movie? La La Land? No, he was fine in La La Land.
He was fine in La La Land. I think actually, to be fair, there was points in the Barbie movie maybe where we saw a little bit of weakness.
Oh, absolutely. I'm glad you're with me there. I think in The Nice Guys as well, to be perfectly honest, yes. But yes, anyway. Yes.
But we love him. Also, I think this is just a prediction I want to throw out there to give us points. I think a big part of his character or something they're going to play on a lot is him giving the thumbs up. Just to make sure that, like, that's him telling everybody that he's okay. And I think we're going to see that throughout the movie.
Yeah, of course.
It's going to be like a running gag.
Yep. He gives the thumbs up to the bad guys when they're shooting at him just to let them know that they haven't hit him.
Or, like, people will think he's actually dead.
Yeah.
Pop up Terminator style with the thumbs up. I think that will happen.
Yeah, I think so too. That's pretty prominent in the trailers. So, moving on to the next character of Jodie Marino, who of course is Colt's ex-girlfriend and a first-time director. My guess is that she was a second unit director previously on a movie that Colt was working on, and that's how they connected with their romance. It looks like a war movie in the trailer. That's just my guess. This character is being played by Emily Blunt, who of course we've talked about before. She was in A Quiet Place Part 2. And she was in Jungle Cruise.
Yes.
There we go. Alongside Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who could have been in this movie.
That would have been their second time.
Yeah.
In a movie together.
Well, who knows who was cast back in 2010. Mm-hmm. I mean, Emily Blunt was still knocking around, but she was only fresh off, like, Devil Wears Prada back then. So, yeah, she's, of course, going to be our secondary lead, I feel.
Yeah, I suppose so.
We're going to have, like, a romantic comedy sort of thing going on between her and Ryan Gosling.
I've seen a lot of press about this movie. Well, I won't say a lot. I saw one press thing that they did, and they said that the romance is at the heart of the movie and gets played throughout the course of the movie.
Interesting.
It is her first time directing a movie, so I think there's a lot of pressure. Yeah, so she really, really needs to find this actor. Yep. Otherwise, the whole movie goes bust. So, I think there's going to be stakes there with her.
And then, of course, at the same time, she's juggling her emotions with her ex-boyfriend, who she feels sort of wronged her.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's something about him that she still really likes. And he kind of feels the same. But she's like, well, you're bad for me because I remember how you hurt me in the past. And yeah, well, I think it's pretty clear where this character's going, more or less.
Yes.
Well, we do see them making out in the trailer, but that could just be a flashback.
I thought that was a flashback.
Yeah, me too.
I thought they sort of made out in a party, like a post, wrap-up party or something, and that was a flashback
that we see. Exactly. So, next up, playing the character of Tom Ryder, who is a famous action film star, the world's most famous action film star, sort of like the Tom Cruise, you could say, of this movie, is Aaron Taylor-Johnson, who we only talked about last week. Because he played Tangerine in Bullet Train.
Yes.
And, of course, I think it's big news all over the world. He was recently offered the James Bond role.
Mm-hmm.
Whether he takes it up or not is down to him.
He'd be great in it, though.
He would be great. He's probably one of the only actors I'd be like, well, he would nail that role, and I'd love to see what he does with it. Very different sort of casting, which I think is always something to applaud with a James Bond actor. But, yeah, I like Aaron Taylor-Johnson.
I love him. Talk about an actor who doesn't have many limitations.
No. He can do Kick-Ass. He can do whoever that character was in Tenet. He can do, Quicksilver in the Marvel movies, as well as Tangerine, which is probably the most impressive role I've seen him play, as well as that character whose name I don't remember from Godzilla. 2014's Godzilla.
It was ages ago, Kieran.
Yeah.
Nearly 10 years.
Forgettable movie anyway. But, yeah, so Tom Ryder, we understand that he's going to go missing. The whole, success of this movie rides on him actually filming it and finishing it. From what I understand, he's sort of got tied in with the criminal underworld in Sydney, I guess, or unless he was back at home.
Or they decided to kidnap him for ransom money since he's a huge prolific
figure. We know it's related to drugs, so.
Yes.
And there's probably a larger conspiracy there, too. I don't trust for a second that he's, like, on the up and up. Just knowing the characters that Aaron Taylor-Johnson plays, I don't believe for a second that Tom Ryder is entirely innocent here.
I agreed.
And so, yeah, we're going to have to work that into the plot as well in some way. But let's move on. Next up, playing the character of Dan Tucker, who is Colt's best friend and stunt coordinator, is Winston Duke. Yes. Of course, we talked about before, he was the father in Us, the Jordan Peele 2019 movie Us. Did you forget about that?
I forgot about that.
You're like, we've never seen this actor before, doing the standard Matty D thing.
Yes.
But yeah, and he was also Mr. Black in my Dragon Ball special episode, if you remember that as well.
Cool.
Clearly not.
Nope.
There you go. He was in something else that we've covered, but I can't spacing on it right now. But anyway, not important. So, I don't think there's too much this character can do
Yeah, a lot he's going to do in this movie. I might be wrong.
Yeah, supporting Colt and being there on set to, you know, be the recipient of the thumbs up after a stunt that Colt does.
He's going to deliver exposition.
Yeah.
He's going to be the confidant for Colt.
Yeah.
He might actually, here's a prediction. I think he's going to get Colt the job on the movie.
Yeah, of course. We know that.
But other than that.
That's not a prediction. That's a fact. We see that in the trailer.
Okay. But other than that, I don't know what else he'll do.
Yeah. Well, he's his best friend. So obviously he's supporting him as much as he can. He's the Rick Dalton to the Cliff Booth. So he's just like, hey, man, I know you had this injury and you haven't been working too much and you've just been sitting around feeling sorry for yourself. But there's this big movie coming up and I think you'd be perfect for it. It won't be too intensive, fingers crossed behind back. So it's a good way to get you back out there.
We're going to sneak you on the set.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Very much like Rick. Yeah, it's very much like that.
Yeah, exactly. It's like this has been done before or it's like a standard thing. I think Tarantino was also a fan of The Fall Guy. So we could just, as in the TV series, so we could play devil's advocate there. So next up, playing the character of Gail Meyer, who of course is Jodie's executive producer, is Hannah Waddingham. Nailed it. There we go.
Nice work. Nice work.
And we've seen her before, of course. She was the Mother Witch in Hocus Pocus 2.
Yep.
At the flashback in the beginning.
In Ted Lasso as well.
Yep.
That's what she's been doing recently.
Sure. I've not seen that show still. You can bring it up every episode, but sure. Yeah, fair enough.
So she seems like, well, she's the person that sends Colt on this mission.
Yeah. Right? To find Tom.
She's the
Tom
problem Ryder. Solver.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe a bit of a ball buster.
Well, she's the executive producer, so she's the one financing the movie. So whether she makes her money back is all entirely on Tom Ryder being back in the film and the film being a success. So yeah, she's got a lot riding on this. She understands that Tom Ryder, I guess having worked with him before, has these sort of shady dealings and has this sort of...
Or he could be just like a party guy that's unreliable.
Absolutely, absolutely. So she's like, well, you got to find him and make sure he's back on set because otherwise this movie isn't going to be able to be finished and my investment is going to be a bust. So yeah, she's going to be the one pushing Colt to go and clear things up, sort of, I guess, away from the watchful eye of Jodie at the same time. Yeah, makes sense.
I agree with that, yeah.
I guess that makes sense. That's all we really need to say. Now, playing a character who we don't see in the trailers at all, character called Alma Milan, who is Tom Ryder's personal assistant, is Stephanie Hsu, who, appropriately enough, we've seen before. She played Hsu, who was Shang-Chi's friend in Shang-Chi.
Yeah.
She was in two scenes of that movie. She was also the daughter in Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Cool.
For a more, I guess, a movie that people have actually seen and liked.
Yeah.
Well, some people.
Some people, yeah. So, yeah, I guess we don't see her in the trailer, I don't believe, but
she's probably a harassed and harried personal assistant, quite like-
Yes, that's what I think as well.
Jessica Henwick's character from Glass Onion, if you remember.
Yeah. Like, she's struggling. She's stretching herself too thin.
Yeah.
I'm seeing a lot of that. Like, we feel sorry for
her.
She's
a bit bullied by Tom.
Because Tom is such a terrible person to work for and he's such an egotist.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Makes
sense.
Because we don't see her in the trailer, I don't think we need to say too much more about this character because she's probably not going to be a huge impact.
Probably there for comedy and nothing else.
Yeah, she'll probably have one or two scenes and that's pretty much all we'll see about her, unless she's like the secret bad guy.
She's the secret bad guy.
I highly doubt it, though. And the last person I wanted to mention, I just wanted to say that Lee Majors is having a little cameo role in this movie. Now, if I had to guess, again, we don't see him in the trailers because I guess it's supposed to be a surprise, even though they've told us in advance. If I had to guess, he's playing like a mentor figure to Colt.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He's like an older stuntman who had this whole career in Hollywood earlier on. And he's like the guy who Colt will either ring up or have a drink within a bar in one scene. And he'll talk about like, oh, back in my day, we used to do this, we used to do that. There weren't Marvel movies back then. The stunts were real. You'd get to do everything in front of a green screen.
Yeah, I like that. I kind of saw him being a stuntman as well.
Yeah, well, he's too old to be a stuntman now.
Maybe met on the pitcher or something like that. But I like the idea of him
being
a mentor.
Unless he's the stunt double for Robert De Niro in The Irishman. I can't see him,
Yeah.
Doing too many stunts at his age. But yeah, mentor figure, I think, is perfect.
Love that.
Sound like you agreeing.
Yeah, love that.
We're agreeing with me there. But yeah. Yeah. Well, that's all the actors. Should we dive into what we think is going to happen in the plot?
Yes. Let's do it. How does this movie open?
I think it's going to open personally with a romance.
Yes.
So I think we see a war movie in the trailer, right? We see Ryan Gosling's character, Colt. From now on, we'll just call him Colt. Is working on what looks like a Vietnam-style war movie. Mm-hmm. There's explosions going off. There's claymores being fired. There's soldiers being thrown through the air. We see that Colt is thrown through the air by an explosion, gets thrown into a little pond. And then when he looks up out of the pond, there we see the first unit director, Jody. She's smiling at him. He's smiling at her. Maybe we'll even have voiceover.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I thought that this would be, well, this would start with narration.
Yeah.
Much like one of the trailers did. And we sort of hear this backstory.
And much like in the Fall Guy TV show as well, at least in the opening credits.
There you go.
So, yeah, that'd be a good way to open the movie. And we do see it in the trailer a little bit. So, yeah, he can be like, that's me. I'm Colt Seavers.
If anyone ever told you I was just a normal guy.
An average, ordinary guy.
Somebody lied.
Somebody lied.
Yeah, so I think this is a good idea. It'll tell the story of their romance when they first met on the film.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, we'll flash to them making out next to a trailer. We'll see that scene.
No, they're making out in a truck. He's doing donuts on the beach, and they're just making out. And he's like, we had the whirlwind romance.
Yes.
And then my guess is here, this is just a prediction. You can agree or disagree with me, and we can workshop it if need be.
Yep.
My guess is that he has his injury when they're working together, and then this is what, you know, causes their separation. Like, he has this injury, he's in hospital, he has to recover, and then he sort of, like, is a bit embarrassed, and so that's why he ghosts her.
Okay.
Like, he's too embarrassed about this injury, so he's just like, oh, I don't want her to see me like this. You know, the whole reason we met is because she was impressed by my stunt work, and so he just doesn't tell her what's happening and just completely cuts her out of his life.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. I think another good thing as well is the injury might come from him being distracted by her as well. I think that can add another layer to it. Like, maybe he's driving, maybe he looks at her, he's trying to catch her eye, he misses something, he crashes, or...
Well, I think it would be something that she doesn't witness, because otherwise she would know what happened.
Yeah, okay.
Right? So, because if she was there when it happened, she'd completely understand what he was going through and be there to support him. So, it could be a completely different film. They finish working on the film. Maybe he's, like, texting her while he's driving. Yeah, and in like on a set, of course, not while going to work or from work. Maybe he's like glancing down at his text messages, trying to get that.
He left me on red.
What is it, endorphin rush that you get from when you get a text message from a person you like?
Yeah, and he looks down, he looks up, and he hits something, and
injures the stunt goes wrong. This is probably not going to happen, but like I like your idea of him being distracted by her in some way, and then this leads to an accident on set.
Because it can also add the other level of like, you know, him feeling bad that he, you know, got distracted in the first place to do his job, and then he's
she's become a liability to his work.
Yes,
there we go.
Yes. And
very good.
And then he's also kind of depressed as well, like... You know, he doesn't get to do what he loves. He doesn't get to make the money, all that macho man stuff. And that leads him through a spiritual journey, which the trailer does say he goes through, where he
goes from dad bod to god bod.
No. No, he will not. But yeah, so they have some distance between them. He just essentially ghosts her.
Yeah.
She's left wondering whatever happened. And then we get
like, what a dick.
Present day.
Oh, no, it's huge. But anyway, yes. we're in present day. Of course, she's become a first-time director. Jody, that is. She's been second unit director for ages, and then she's got this big gig as a first-time director. She's working on this big Hollywood blockbuster called Metal Storm.
Yep.
Starring Tom Ryder, who's the most famous action star in the world, in the world of this movie, of course. Not that Aaron Taylor-Johnson is in real life.
Not yet.
I'd say Ryan Gosling. Ryan Gosling. Yeah, well, wait until he's James Bond.
Yeah.
Great casting in this movie. If he accepts the role, if he's smart, we'll see. So, this is a big deal for her. This is what's going to either make or break her career. Of course, Gail Meyer has a lot riding on this as well, the producer. Yep. So, she's like, well, you've got to make sure you nail it. You've got to make sure, you know, this is going to be a big stunt-heavy movie. So, you've got to get the right stuntmen in. So, which is why you're going to bring in Dan Tucker. He's like a great sort of... What is he, like a stunt coordinator?
Yes.
He's going to bring in the best guys. And we're going to make sure that everything goes swimmingly. No one's going to be injured. Everything's going to be shot on time. And to schedule, we're working in Sydney. And so, we've got a lot of filming locations there. We're working at Disney Studios. We can film all our green screen stuff there.
Well, this is a lot of practical stuff, though.
Yeah.
They're really strong on that with this movie.
Yeah. They have said that most of the stunts in this movie are practical.
Which we got to applaud that.
I don't think Ryan Gosling sort of like water skiing behind a truck on a bit of metal is a real stunt, just looking at it in the trailer.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think anybody did that stunt because it looks so fake.
Yeah.
But a lot of the other stuff I'm seeing looks pretty impressive. So, just to talk briefly about Metal Storm, from the looks of it, it looks like sort of like a Mad Max movie set in space.
That's what I'm getting. I'm getting like a Mad Max sci-fi apocalypse dystopian kind of movie.
Yeah, set in another planet, though.
Yes.
Yeah. So, interesting concept. Of course, we've seen that a lot in the 70s and 80s, but yeah, nice to have a throwback.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It won't be explored a lot what this movie is, other than the fact it's big, it's just got everything thrown into
Maybe it's sort of like a parody of Mad Max Fury Road, because remember how that, that's perfect timing for this as well, because we're just about to talk about Furiosa, which has done a similar thing. Mind you, the trailer for that movie looks very fake, but anyway, we'll talk about that in a future episode. But yeah, I'm guessing it's sort of like a satire of Mad Max Fury Road, where they did a lot of the car stunts in that. Practically, and that's something they want to do in this movie. They want to have like real actors being set on fire. They want to have like real, you know, impressive stunts. It's written by the same guy who did the most recent Mission Impossible movie. So the sort of gravitas that they bring to those movies, they want to bring to this movie because they want to make $1 billion and win all the Academy Awards, right?
Yeah.
Even though it's like a dumb action movie. So there's a lot riding on this.
Yes.
And then of course we have like one of our first big stunt scenes filmed, which is like a chase. Presumably over a planet, which is being shot on a beach. We have an impressive crash. The car flips over, beating the Casino Royale Guinness World Record. And Jody is just blown away by this. She's like, that was fantastic. That stunt went perfectly. The stuntman crawls out of the car, pulls off his helmet.
Ooh, dream. So, you think that's when the reveal's going to be? Because I thought that maybe Colt would have got a call being like, hey, you want this job? But do you think it's going to be a surprise that he's there?
Yeah, of course, of course. I'm playing like we don't have to go through every scene beat for beat. He might be at home recovering. We see him like modern day and getting a call. He's hanging out with his dog.
Yeah.
Who's like, what is that? What is that dog?
God, it is like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Is Manson in this movie?
What is the dog called? You know that type of dog that he has in the movie? It's annoying me because my dad has the exact same dog and it looks exactly like the dog in this trailer. But I can't for the life of me think of what it's called. Listeners, please write in and let me know. I just can't think of what it's called.
I don't know, man. I can't remember the dog in the trailer.
You didn't see the dog in the trailer at all? It was very prominent.
Oh, what?
He's doing action scenes with the dog.
Okay.
And he says to the dog, hey, you want to drive?
Oh, yeah. I thought that dog was picked up along the way. Like, was it a border collie or something?
I think it might be a border collie. Yeah. Listeners, write in and let us know.
I didn't realize it was his dog. Well, it could be.
I'm just presuming it's his dog because of the relationship he has with
it. Right. I thought it, like, along the way, like, it might have been a drug dealer's dog that he ends up, like, befriending.
Why would a drug dealer have a dog?
Why not?
Because that's stupid. Just make it easy. Because here's the thing.
Yep.
We don't go to the furthest possible leap for logics here on this show. We go shortest route possible. That's how we get right.
Okay.
That's a lesson we've learned time and time again.
That you've learned.
Simple, yes. Simple. Keep it simple, stupid. There we go. The KISS logic. So, for ease, like, it might be a drug dealer's dog. It might fall out of the sky and land in his car. It might
fall out, I wish.
It might come from another planet.
Yeah.
It might be sent there by the gods.
The dog might talk.
The dog might talk and do one-liners. But I think the easiest, you know, path of least
resistance... That's Lee Major's role is the dog.
Yeah, he voices the dog. No, I think the path of least resistance is just to say that it's his dog. And then it ends up just being caught up in some of the action for whatever reason.
Too easy. Too easy. Happy with that.
Now we mentioned the dog, we don't need to talk about
it again. The dog is in the movie. Points for us. So
back to our scene on the beach. Yeah, maybe he's at home. He's with his dog. He's doing like one of those exercise ball sort of like tendon exercises with his hand. And he gets the call from Dan Tucker who says, hey, I got a gig for you, but you know, we're going to be a little bit hush-hush about it. And he says, I'll do it. And then we have our big stunt scene on the beach.
He whips off the helmet.
Jody's shocked. She's just like, anyone but him.
I did not want him on this set.
Yeah, I didn't want Colt Seavers.
I specifically said no to him.
And of course, Dan Tucker's like, he was the only guy that could do this stunt.
Also, Dan's probably going to be like, look, you know this guy. He's the best in the industry. He can do this stuff. We need him. For this movie to be a success, we need him. And Jody will be like, okay, but I don't want any interactions with him.
She's like, this is your last day on set.
Yeah, he can't go near me. I don't want to talk to him. And of course...
Well, of course, Colt is going to try and lay on the charm.
Colt is going to go out of his way to interact with her, to talk to her, to pick her up.
And she's not having it at this point.
Not at this point.
Standard romantic comedy rule, she's not having it at the start. She's just like, nope, you're bad for me. You ghosted me. You left me out in the cold. You didn't reply to me at all. And he's like, oh, I was just going through some stuff, baby. Yeah. I was just going through some shit, baby. You don't understand.
I'm like, a different man now, babe.
I need that time.
Sorry, babe.
And like every second line is like a one-liner sort of flirtation. from him. And she's like sort of conflicted. She's like, well, he's really charming and he's really smooth, but I know that he's bad for me. So I'll just try and put on a brave face and say that I don't want this. I'll say directly, like, I don't need this from you.
There'll be a lot of Kennish improvisational flirting. Okay.
Yeah. Or attempts it. All right. So, should we fast forward to the conflict?
Yeah, let's go.
Because obviously, we're going to have a few more scenes, a few more sort of like meet cutes, getting to know each other.
Scenes on the set as well. But then eventually, it's going to be like he gets pulled in and says the actor is missing.
Yeah. So, he gets pulled into Gail Meyer's office, the producer's office, and she says, look, we've got a problem. Tom Ryder isn't answering his phone.
He's not on set when he's supposed to be.
His
assistant doesn't know where he is.
Yeah.
But he's probably just had a bender and he's not woken up. Go to his hotel or- go to his hotel and wake him up.
Absolutely. So, he goes to the hotel.
No one will miss you. You're just a stuntman. In fact, you're the lowest point of the totem pole at this stage because the director doesn't like you.
Yeah.
So, go off and find him. Just bring him back. That's all you need to do.
Yeah. Simple as that. So, he goes around to the hotel. Colt does, that is.
And has an interaction with the door.
Yeah.
Which was in the trailer.
He has to get the right key to get into the room. Finally, keys his way into the room and looks around. And what does he come across?
Well, what we see in the trailer, it seems like there's a bathtub with ice in it. Mm-hmm. And there is a dead body there that is not Tom Ryder.
Yes.
Somebody else.
I took great pains to make sure it wasn't Tom Ryder because I'm like, it would be so simple.
If it was.
If it was just Tom Ryder and he was dead and then that was a big problem. But it's so obviously not Tom Ryder. So, it looks like either something's going on here or they're trying to fake his death.
Yeah, this guy has a beard though and Tom Ryder does not have
a beard. Tom Ryder does have a beard.
Oh, Tom Ryder does have a beard. Yeah. I just had a thought, right? Okay.
He looks exactly like Ryan Gosling's character. He's got blonde hair and a beard.
Cool. What if this was the stunt guy for Tom Ryder and the whole thing was set up to make it look like a death? You know what I mean?
That's quite a leap.
They could play into the whole like the stuntmen being the fall guys. For the, you know, for this setup.
That's an interesting point because the movie is called The Fall Guy. Mm. So, you know, I was just hearkening back to the TV show where, you know, he's the fall guy because he takes falls. But then, you know, it's a double meaning as in like he's taking the fall metaphorically for like a crime. That's an interesting point. But, maybe we should go with that just for, because it's bold. There we go.
Okay.
I could just put my foot down and be like, no, that doesn't make sense. But I haven't got anything better because, you know, either they're harvesting organs from him.
Yes.
Or they're trying to fake Tom Ryder's death for some reason. But this guy clearly doesn't look like Tom Ryder. So, no one's going to think that he's Tom Ryder. But I guess it puts Tom Ryder in a bad position if, he has a dead body in his room and he's missing. But, if he was his stunt double and then Ryan Gosling sort of forced, as in Colt, is forced to take the position of the stunt double. That would be a good thing, and plot wise anyway.
Yeah.
But we see as well that Colt is attacked by like a woman wielding a samurai sword. I'm not sure if it's the exact same scene from memory.
Well, I feel like this moment in the film you need to have an action scene. Well, yeah, no, I feel like in this moment you need to have some sort of action scene. So someone attacks him, right?
Yeah.
That would make sense to me.
Wouldn't it be interesting if, like, he goes in, he finds this body,
yeah.
He leaves and goes and tells the police, but they go and they don't find anything.
He can't understand the policeman's accent.
Yeah, because he's Australian.
They're crazy Australians.
Because he says, oh, someone's committed an ice crime. And the policeman goes, an ice crime?
Do you mean ice cream?
He's saying ice cream or ice crime because I can't understand with the accent. But, yeah, that whole thing. But then when they go up to find the body, there's nothing there. Mm-hmm. Which could, you know, again, this is quite a stretch, but which is leads him to go and investigate further, which causes him to run into all these goons.
Yes.
Who were there for some reason.
Yes. Maybe he finds something at the crime scene that leads him to
where
he goes next.
Yeah, of course. I think we have to introduce our villains. It looks like Tom Ryder is caught up with this group of- It almost looks like Russian mobsters if you've seen any John Wick movie or Nobody. It looks exactly like that sort of stereotype because you've got like the bald guy with the tracksuit with like the grill and the sunglasses on, 5 o'clock shadow, and you've got like the goons. I think there's an Australian goon as well from the looks of it, which of course makes sense. It's in Sydney, but and then we've got a woman who wields a samurai sword.
Yeah,
we've got this whole ragtag team of villains.
It'll be like the dragon of the movie.
Yeah, we've got this ragtag team of villains who I guess will be going up against Tom Ryder at every point.
Yes.
Mike, we do see Tom Ryder. I meant Colt Seavers. Going up against Colt Seavers at every point. Now, we do see that Colt goes to some sort of nightclub. Maybe they're at the Ivy.
Maybe they're at the Ivy.
They're partying at the Ivy. And
jumping into the pools at the Ivy.
Yeah, which you're not allowed to do if you don't have swimmers. So just keep that in mind if you're going to the Ivy this
weekend.
Totally
do that.
Yeah.
Just make sure the bouncer doesn't see you.
Yeah, well, we were told off, so. It was not happening.
Ivy
for
is
us.
A very different place.
We were pretending to be cricketers.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
How'd that work out for you?
It didn't
you?
Work
Did you
out.
Pick up?
No. So, yeah. So I think, like you said, he finds a clue which leads him to the next location, which is perhaps this nightclub, this seedy nightclub, one of Manny D's favorite locations
Love it.
In movies, where there's this party going on being hosted by the villains.
Yep.
And he goes there to try and find if, you know, maybe Tom Ryder's on a bender.
Well, maybe he's been to this club. He's known to go to this club. So, yeah. It's just like, makes sense. It's like, someone will know where he is.
It's an invitation to a party and it's being held by these
so,
monsters.
So, yeah. Idiot Colt is loudly asking people where Tom Ryder is.
Well, he comes in like wearing an outfit. Like he's wearing, like he's trying to blend in.
Yeah.
But then obviously he gets himself into trouble and he has to defend himself with like a pair of champagne bottles, which by the way, we saw exactly the same thing in Hobbs and Shaw. Mm-hmm.
And it turns out he's a great fighter. I guess that stunt work makes him an excellent
martial artist.
Yes.
Yeah, of course. That's the rules.
Yes.
This is Hollywood after all.
He could beat Bruce Lee.
Potentially, or even his son Brandon Lee. Maybe. Anyway, yeah. So, I think he'll probably escape this party by the skin of his teeth.
Yes.
We see a scene where he's riding on one of those sort of like electric scooters and ends up crashing through one of our famous light rails.
Yeah, okay.
And so, that's something that really confused me.
Hold on a sec. I thought that was a film because aren't they watching that? Isn't Jodie watching that?
That's where I'm getting confused because we also see in another trailer that Jodie's watching Colt at home.
Yes.
Sort of like with his shirt off. But it doesn't make any sense why they would be filming the events of the movie and then reviewing that back. So, my thought was that they were just sort of faking it up for the trailer. So,
okay.
So, he's reviewing footage from, you know, what is it, Metal Storm. But they've sort of faked it up in the trailer to make it look like, oh, she's reviewing scenes from the movie.
That could be it.
And
it,
reacting to it.
That could be it. My thought was that when it's revealed that Colt is working on the movie, Jodie's like, oh, I don't want anything to do with him as they're watching film, like, footage from the movie that they're working on, right? And people are like, why? What's this guy? And they find old footage of
it'd be quite a coincidence that he's wearing the exact same outfit that he goes undercover to the party in.
Yeah.
In this whatever previous movie that he
so
did.
So, it's possible that they're just
By the way, he's not an actor. He's a stuntman. So, we see his face quite clearly in all these scenes that she's watching. And why would
but
there
they're
be-
like bloopers almost.
Yeah, well, it doesn't make any sense. The only other thing that makes sense to me, and this is quite a long bow. This is quite a long bow. The only other way that this could make sense to me is if they end up making a movie. So, Tom Ryder ends up dead.
Yeah,
or something happens to him and they end up making a movie. Like, what we saw is the movie that they made based on this experience.
Yeah.
You're furrowing up your brow.
I don't see that, no. I think you're probably right with your first instinct that the trailer is faking it up.
That
makes the most sense.
Yes, that's the only way it makes sense in my head.
This part in the trailer really confused me as well because I thought, well,
because in some trailers, they're showing the scene of him at home in his apartment with his shirt off with his sort of like back brace on or whatever that device is
on his
back.
Yeah, what is that device?
They show it as in context of the movie. And then in other trailers, they show them watching that footage as though they're reviewing the footage as though they'd shot it for a movie, which doesn't make any sense at all.
And she's like thirsting over him. Yeah, so- Yeah, it's probably faked up for the trailer. Let's go with that. That makes it a lot cleaner.
Yeah, I think that's the only way to really make sense of it.
The only other way is if they're watching like discarded footage where he messes up the stunts and they're all laughing at him.
And what, they're shooting him at home?
But she,
in the movie?
Well, that's
that
the
doesn't
part,
make any sense.
That's the part that doesn't work because they showed other scenes where he's bursting through the train and she's like, haha, what an idiot. But then she's also like, oh, he's kind of cute. But then
the whole train scene, like I said, he's wearing the exact same outfit that he wears going undercover to this party, which we know is in context of the movie. So.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's easy just to say it's faked for the trailer.
Absolutely.
Let's go with that. I'm happy with that.
There's every chance we're going to be right in the future.
Yeah.
Because they're most likely going to be reviewing footage of Metal Storm, which we just don't see in the trailer. And they could put whatever footage they want there.
Yeah.
Because they're just looking at a green screen when
Absolutely.
They're filming it. So, yeah. Back to the plot.
Back to the nightclub. Or after the nightclub.
Well, yeah, he obviously escapes by the skin of his teeth. We can't, like we do with all action movies, we can't detail every single action scene.
No.
Beat for beat, because, you know, that's not what this show's about. That's not interesting to listen to. Presuming what we've said anyway is interesting, but, you know, hey, we've done-
Plot points is what we work at.
We're getting up to 300 episodes, so if you didn't like it, you wouldn't be here. Yeah, let's just focus on the plot.
Yes.
So, the main concern I have is that, like, I don't really know where the movie's going. So, there's going to be a lot of intrigue and espionage.
Yeah.
conspiracy.
Yeah, yeah. So there's going to be a lot of him getting involved, and I think the drug dealers are going to think he's more important than what he is. They're like, who is this agent? You know, who's this guy? Is he part of a, is he gang affiliated? Is he part of like a competitor? Is he part of the police? Is he part of, you know, like who is this guy? And don't realize that he's just like this stuntman who's accidentally fallen into this.
What do you think the overall conspiracy could be? So, there's two people that I don't trust are good guys, or at least I don't trust are on the up and up. So, there's Tom Ryder, the actor. I don't trust that he's on the up and up, and I don't believe his disappearance is- I don't think he's the victim in his disappearance, basically. No. The other person I don't think is on the up and up is the producer, Gail Meyer.
Oh, really?
So, I think she may be involved in some way-
So, she set up Cult, okay.
As some sort of insurance to get, like, some sort of profit on the movie, and it doesn't even get made. So, it doesn't really end up costing her too much, and then she gets a payout on the insurance.
Right, but why would Tom Ryder do that? Because I agree with you. I think Tom Ryder-
She's being paid off as well. Yeah, okay. I mean, he's being paid off as well.
Yeah, because I think Tom Ryder is definitely faking his own death. Maybe he's in deep with sort of debt. Maybe he's like into drugs. Maybe he's in a very desperate situation.
That's my thought, yeah.
And they kind of go, okay, well, if we get rid of you, if you like go to another country and go into hiding, we could get this
and
whole-
And if this movie ends up being a bust, we can do Warner Brothers style, just scrap it and get return on investment through insurance.
Or they make the movie and because he's dead, the movie does really well. I don't know.
I also had a theory that like they end up making the movie anyway, but they just replace Tom with Cult.
Well, I thought that too, because some of the bios I've read has said that he's looking for Tom while still doing his job. Yeah. That doesn't really make narrative sense.
I think they're trying to shoot as much of the movie as possible without Tom being there. So they're like, you got to shoot all of Tom's scenes, basically. Like, we won't show your face, but we've got to shoot as much of the movie as possible without ever revealing that it's not Tom in the role.
And it's Cold is the only one who can do it for whatever reason.
Because he looks the most like Tom.
He's the same height or build or whatever.
Well, he is, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's definitely going
to
be a plot
point. I think so too. So, are we happy to say like it's an insurance kind of thing?
Oh, yeah, I absolutely think so.
We don't need to go into the details of it, but-
So, with every mystery, 9 times out of 10, you watch any film noir movie, 9 times out of 10, it's the person that gives the detective the case or the investigator the case who's the bad guy.
Which is Gail.
And yeah, so it'd be my assumption with that information that Gail is definitely in on it and it's a conspiracy that she's leading.
Yep,
like I think the same thing happens in The Nice Guys from memory. The person who sends out Ryan Gosling to find a specific person is the person who's plotting against her the whole time. It happens in the movie Body Double. Mm-hmm. That's another example I thought of recently.
Technically, Bullet Train in a way.
Yeah, Bullet Train, absolutely. You're right. So, it's not like there isn't precedent for this. So, I think it's a safe assumption just to presume that Gail Meyer is the mastermind behind everything.
Great. Love it.
Tom Ryder is just a patsy. He's being paid off to sort of clear some sort of debt.
He's going
to
be played as an idiot, greedy, egotistical, and, you know, he's a pawn in this whole thing in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, and the criminals are just incidental, really. Yeah, like, we think that they're behind it, but they're just sort of tied up in it because Tom Ryder is already mixed up in their world.
Yeah, and I think we'll find this twist when Cold actually finds Tom Ryder and he'll be like, oh, great, I found you, I rescued you, and Tom will, like, hit him or something.
Yeah,
and, be like,
and the bad guys will walk into the room.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he'll be like to Gail, like, you told me that no one would know about this, that this was safe, that this was easy, and look at what's happened. And we're going to have that whole big thing.
Yeah. So, now that we've sort of put on the table what we think the conspiracy is going to be, how do you think the movie will end?
Well, I did see a press conference that the actors gave, and the guy who plays Dan did say that he's like, hey, how'd you guys like the movie? Did you guys like the helicopter scene at the end? So, helicopter scene.
Well, we see a scene in the trailer where Ryan Gosling does a stunt where he jumps like past an explosion and grabs onto like the feet of a helicopter, those rungs at the bottom.
Oh, do you think that Jodie will be put in danger and that he needs to save her?
Maybe in some way. I think that's a cool idea.
Yeah.
We see a spectacular stunt sequence over the Harbour Bridge with like a what looks like a skip bin being dragged behind a truck.
How crazy is that? We used to travel along that way.
Along the Harbour Bridge.
Along the Harbour Bridge every day for work.
That's
right. Once upon a time.
So, Manny D and I were traveling in the opposite direction to Cult.
Yes.
Yeah, and we worked the dog into the action scenes too. So I think the action scenes, for the point of our prediction here, aren't important. So we don't need to focus on them too much. But ultimately, no. I think it's a, well, it's such a woman in the refrigerator trope, isn't it, to have Jodie in danger and Colt having to rescue her. But
it's the love story.
I don't think the movie's aspiring to be anything sort of grandiose or progressive. Yeah, so,
no. I mean, she'll be strong and capable in her own way.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, this whole movie's about their romance. I think their romance is at the forefront of the movie. So if she's in danger or peril, or he has to rescue her in some capacity, then that's going to play into the end of the movie.
So how are Jodie and Colt going to end up on top? Are they going to make the movie with Colt replacing Tom Ryder, even though he can't act?
Yeah. Well,
I'm talking about the character, mind you.
Right.
Colt.
Well, they're going to defeat all the bad guys. They're going to defeat all the drug dealers. And maybe
all the appropriate people are going to go to jail, yes, Matty D style.
Exactly. And then they manage to, maybe they're like, oh, we don't have a movie. But then when they look at it, they're like, actually, we do have a movie. And I think
maybe Tom Ryder isn't killed, but he's basically forced back into the production. And you know how we have a scene of Colt and Tom Ryder sitting right next to him in the car, and they do like a big jump. And Tom Ryder's basically pissing himself in fear while Colt's got like this sort of green sort of mouth guard in, presumably to protect his teeth.
Yeah.
And they can just sort of CGI in some teeth over the top. But, you know, maybe he gets his like comeuppance on Tom Ryder by saying, you want to see what it's like to be an action hero? You should try riding along with me in one of these stunts.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
Because maybe Tom Ryder's one of those actors who just tells everybody he does his own stunts.
Yes, that would be great.
And then just sort of fakes it.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
That'd be a fun element, wouldn't it?
And then at the end, he gets exposed. All the footage of him being like a coward or sitting off to the side.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, being a diva gets exposed. And I really think that this movie is going to spotlight like the heroics of the stuntman.
Yeah.
And also people on the crew. I think this movie is going to try to...
Yeah.
Oh, well, hopefully, you know...
Because David Leitch has been working with these people his whole career.
Yeah, he's a stuntman.
That's his bread and butter. I'm pretty sure that he made his start along with the other John Wick director, like working on The Matrix and just working with stunt people, doing all this stuff for real.
Yeah.
Like, so that's, they were directors, this is what happened.
Yeah, he has a soft spot and passion for these people. So I think it's going to end with that sort of message.
Yeah, they get to make the movie. Whether it's a success or not, I guess it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I think it'll be a success, but showing the stunt work of, you know, the stunt men and women.
Most importantly, Colt gets his kissy.
Yes.
Jodie and Colt, they get together. They start their romance and everybody's happy. And everyone, like the audience goes out going, oh, what a great time. Like everyone got what they wanted in the end, as is standard with these sort of movies. And yeah, I think that's basically everything we need to say about The Fall Guy.
Yeah, I think
so. Unless there's anything else you wanted to bring up that we're missing.
Not really. I think they're going to, at the end of this movie, maybe credit all the stunt people and like in a big way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that'd be
like,
cool.
Like have pictures of everyone who worked on the stunts there.
Or just maybe like footage, like B-roll of like the people doing the stunts for real.
Yes.
So something, we can see like behind the scenes.
Something like that will happen just to be like, yeah, this is what this movie's about.
That's cool. I like that.
But I do think that it's going to be a simple story. The main focus will be the spectacle.
Yes.
Which we didn't go into all that sort of stuff because I don't think we really need to, but it'll be the action that'll be behind it. Yeah. Not so much the narrative. So
we're here just to predict the plot, not what's going to happen in the action.
Simple plot, a lot of flirtation.
Also, we don't know the names of any of the villains. They're not listed here.
Well,
so
they're probably not important. And I agree with you. I think Gale's going to be a main bad guy. And I think,
Tom's going to be antagonistic.
Up to no good as well. They're going to be our main bad guys. But everybody else is just going to be one bad guy. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Named Tintin and T-Bird. And sorry, I just watched The Crow recently. Well, half watched it.
Did you finish it?
No. That's why I said half watch it.
There you go. All right. So, I don't know why you brought it up. Anyway. Yeah, I get what you're saying. So, do you, the dear listener, have any idea of what you think is going to happen in The Fall Guy? Are you looking forward to this movie? Do you think it's going to be better or worse than Bullet Train? I can guarantee you right now that the plot is going to be nowhere near as complicated as Bullet Train's plot.
Not at all.
There's way less characters too. So, I think it has a lot sort of more positive writing on it. At least in the, even though we liked Bullet Train. Was that the Fall Guy driving past in the background?
Was our stuntman.
If that was picked up by the mics at all, we'll see. But there's several places you can let us know your thoughts. You can find us on our Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter pages, our social media platforms, like we own those, on our potential spoilers pages on those platforms, or you can send us an email at potentialspoilerspod@gmail.com. Or you can simply leave us a comment on this episode's page on our Podbean site. There we go. Another episode done for another week.
Done.
This is leading us up towards the Easter break. I believe that's when our next episode is going to be. So, why don't we do something special? And since we haven't done one in such a long time, Matty D, why don't we do another installment of Movie Talk?
Yeah.
I feel like we only just did one the other week. Oh, wait, because we did. But yeah, I think we need a little bit of an Easter break to try and let our hair down a bit since we've been really run off our feet with work, as we've already expressed in this episode. So, we're going to do something we've been promising to do for ages, and I think this is going to be a fun conversation. Anyway, we're doing another installment of the best and worst of a specific year, and next week, we're going to be talking about the best and worst of all the movies we covered in 2023. Mm-hmm. Look, this is the closest period we've had between the actual year and then talking about the year.
Yeah.
We're finally catching up. So, we have seen all the movies that came out in 2023 that we covered on this podcast, and yeah, we're going to finally be able to talk about all of them.
Yeah.
And see which ones we liked and see which ones we really didn't like.
Discuss everything. What was good, what was bad, what was forgettable.
Absolutely. So, yeah, please join us next week for that. It'll be a fun conversation. But until then,
this is Matty D putting his thumb way up.
What's an ice crime?
Are you saying ice cream or ice crime?
Ice crime.
Okay, it's just with your accent. It's hard. I'm not reporting an ice cream.
Yes, no, I get that.
Okay.